Medical Matters on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Bon Secours Hospital Tralee, celebrating 100 years of advanced medicine and exceptional care.
And you're very welcome back to Talk About and to Medical Matters, and I'm joined in studio by a number of guests, including Dr. Eamon Shanahan, who's going to do the honours and introduce our two guests.
How are you doing, girl? I'm in the studio again.
You are, you're back with us in person.
Lovely to be here with the gang. All right, okay. So I have with me two colleagues today from the Bons, Dr. Kieran Healy, who's a consultant radiologist in the Bon Secours Hospital, and Deirdre O'Connor, who is a radiographer, but also is the manager of the radiology department. So I'm delighted to have you here, guys. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Great to be here.
Okay, no problem at all.
So we're going to talk about osteoporosis today.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Maybe you might just tell us, what is it?
So let's kick off by saying, unfortunately, it is likely the case that if anybody lives long enough, they're likely to have some degree of osteoporosis. And for various reasons, unfortunately, women are more prone to osteoporosis than men, but both men and women can get osteoporosis. And indeed, while it may be associated with age, it can occur at much earlier ages as well too. And we've seen people in their 40s and 50s who can suffer from osteoporosis. So what is osteoporosis? Osteoporosis is a condition where there is a reduction in the density of the bones. Now, I think it's important straight away to say from the get-go that what osteoporosis is not, it's not the other osteoarthritis. And the reason I'm drawing that distinction is that from time to time I have people who come to me and say, oh, I must get a scan done because I have osteoporosis. And the problem with osteoporosis is that osteoporosis in and of itself is an entirely painless condition until such time as the person suffers a fracture of the bone. Now, it could happen as a result of a trip or a fall, the classic one, and you'll see lots of older people, especially older ladies, having a fall, put out their hand and they break their wrist. It can happen where somebody falls over and breaks their hip, but you can also in some cases get spontaneous fractures where the bone actually breaks itself, and the classic one there would be bones in the back, and that's a really painful condition. And the whole purpose of the exercise is, to the greatest extent possible, is to try to minimise these things happening. There are a variety of treatments available. There are things that can be used to help treat and reduce the risks of bone breaking and osteoporosis, but the purpose of the exercise, I'm probably going to talk about this, how can we screen people for this painless condition so as that they can take the appropriate measures and step to protect themselves.
Okay, so how can you be scanned for this?
I suppose first and foremost, and maybe I might bring in Kieran with me on this bit, is who are the people who are at risk? Now, I said already that the argument would be pretty well any woman over the age of 75, sorry, women over 65, men over 75, but there are other things that would put people at risk. If somebody, sorry, go on, Kieran.
So by far and away, the largest group of patients that need to be screened for osteoporosis would be postmenopausal women. They are by far and away the largest group at risk of osteoporosis. There are other subsets, however, who should be screened for osteoporosis, and they would include, I suppose what we're getting at is the risk factors for osteoporosis, and they would be categories of patients such as patients with some long-term illnesses and...
Mm.
You mentioned osteoarthritis, and chronic osteoarthritis is in itself a risk factor for osteoporosis. There are other chronic illnesses such as diabetes, which would put one at risk for reduced bone density. A large risk factor for developing osteoporosis and reduced bone density would also be reduced dietary intake of calcium.
Mm.
And that, unfortunately, is commonly seen with anorexia and other conditions which leads to reduced dietary intake of calcium. There are also other medications which can cause osteoporosis, or at least put you at risk for developing osteoporosis, such as long-term steroid use.
Mm.
And long-term would be defined as greater than 3 months use of steroids would put you at risk of reduced bone density. Smoking is also a risk factor, as is excess alcohol intake, and that's the Irish Association of Osteoporosis would define that as greater than 3 units per day would put you at risk of developing osteoporosis. So, but by far and away, the largest cohort of patients we'd see with osteoporosis and who are at risk of osteoporosis and should get a DEXA scan would be postmenopausal women. Also, I might add in there, it's in the same kind of category of reduced estrogen. So reduced estrogen results in reduced bone density. And those also at risk of reduced estrogen would be females who have had their ovaries removed. And by and large, under the age of 45 would put you at a large risk of developing osteoporosis if you've had your ovaries removed. There are also some other kind of nuanced conditions, such as prolonged periods between one's menstrual cycle puts you at risk of osteoporosis, and early onset menopause is itself a risk factor for osteoposis. So they'd be the main...
Probably in there, and it's one of the common Irish conditions that, of course, has a vested interest, because I have it myself, people with celiac disease, eyes because of malabsorption, and they don't absorb enough calcium and vitamin D. So conditions like that, or the inflammatory bowel disorders, will do it as well. So there's a variety of conditions that will increase the risk of osteoporosis. I think, as Karen was saying quite rightly, every postmenopausal woman should be screened for osteoporosis. I think one of the things we'd look out for as well is so-called fragility fractures. If somebody's, you know, has a fall and breaks a bone, it immediately, and if, especially if it's a simple fall and there's a break, then the index of suspicion for osteoporosis goes up considerably.
Okay. Is I suppose the main aim to try and prevent you getting to the stage where you have a fall and try and find out if you have it?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things there. So let's talk about lifestyle stuff in the first instance. So what Kieran has quite rightly said about ensuring people get adequate calcium intake. And one of the kind of scary things is, and unfortunately at least 50% of our listeners, if not more, would be saying, oh my God, that's gone already. If you're beyond probably about the late 20s, early 30s, that's when you hit peak bone density, and unfortunately it's kind of downhill after that. So the thing is that what we're trying to do is ensure that people get to their maximum bone density in their late 20s. So if people are restricting their calcium intake, and the classic one is people who are going on very dairy-free diets and things like that, but they're reducing their calcium intake. I think the other thing too is sedentary lifestyle. Now, to be fair, there's lots of people out there walking, lots of people cycling, and that's good and that's important, but there's also a lot of people, unfortunately, are a bit of the couch potato. And the difficulty with that is that the sedentary lifestyle in men and women, or in women and men, will increase bone loss as well too. So you want to try and keep the bone mass up. Drinking sensibly, not smoking under any circumstance, trying to maintain an adequate intake of calcium, vitamin D, and then weight bearing exercise, which is simply walking. You know, that's all the simple stuff. So they're the preventive measures. Obviously, if somebody has the underlying medical conditions, we need to take extra precautions. And again, then for older people, I think one of the things I'd be very conscious of are so-called trips risks in things, simple things around the house, like just cast an eye over the house and see what are the things that you're trailing, cables,
handbags
and things like that. That's exactly it. What you want to do is try and avoid that. So they're the things we would do. I suppose the bit that we're getting onto then is how do we actually, what is the specific definitive test? And that's where the DEXA scan comes in, and Kieran might explain about that.
Okay.
So the good news is that DEXA scans are pain-free, and they're very simple tests, and they take about 10 minutes to perform. Essentially, one lies on their back on an X-ray table, and a bar goes over and back a few times, emitting X-rays which are absorbed by the body fat, muscle, and bone. It takes 10 minutes. It's simple, easy, readily accessible. We perform it in the Bonds in Tralee, and we've also opened up a new unit in Killarney recently, so we're performing it in Killarney also. Following the DEXA scan, and again, there's no preparation required, there's no fasting needed, it's not a claustrophobic environment, it's very low-dose radiation, it's equivalent to approximately the dose of a simple X-ray. Following the DEXA scan, the data points are generated by a computer algorithm, and essentially outspits a fairly straightforward report with two numbers, the T-score, the Z-score, and these numbers then are interpreted by the radiologist. And from this, we interpret whether or not, quite simply, your results are normal, osteopenic, which is a precursor for osteoporosis, where your bones are reduced in density, but not quite to the extent that you're osteoporotic. And then the third category is osteoporosis. And then that report is sent straight away automatically to the GP.
Absolutely, I think the sequence of events would be, it's for us to have the index of suspicion for somebody who might be at risk of osteoporosis to arrange the DEXA scan. So we do the referral letter, and there's a really excellent service that we get from the Bonds in Tralee, and now indeed I'm delighted here in Killarney as well too. So that'll increase the throughput, so as that gives us much more ready access to the scan. When the results come back, we then sit down with the person, and it's important that we do need to sit down with the person and discuss the result with them, because we can then start looking at the issues, like, for example, lifestyle. Kieran was mentioning there about osteopenia, which is that precursor, that stage before you get to osteoporosis. That's the kind of amber warning kind of thing. It's not osteoporosis, but at the same time, it's just a warning that your bone density is going down. And I've had a number of people who have undertaken pretty significant lifestyle modifications, lost weight, stopped drinking alcohol, stopped smoking, taking adequate calcium, vitamin D, and walking, and they have actually reverted their bones virtually back to normal again. So that's the good news. So there are things you can do. You don't necessarily have to go on treatment straight away. But if somebody then has osteoporosis, we need to assess what their risk of, and there are various tools that we can use, the Frax and the Q fracture and things like this, which will help us to calculate the risk of the person developing a fracture in the years to come, especially taking into consideration things like family history and so on. And then that can lead on to a discussion as to what would be the most appropriate therapy for the individual. And there are a variety of therapies there, and that's kind of a whole different ball of wax and a whole different day's work.
Okay. And if you get to the osteoporosis stage, is there any kind of coming back from that?
Absolutely, there is, and if osteoporosis is diagnosed, it's highly likely you will need a medical treatment, whether that be in the form of daily tablets, 6 monthly infusions, once daily subcutaneous. There's a wide plethora of treatments available.
Yeah.
As I was saying to Eamon earlier, I think we surely get too bogged down in that, but there are an enormous plethora of treatments now available.
There is.
When I studied this in medical school,
there was one tablet.
Then there was a bisphosphonate, and there was really just one.
Yeah.
Whereas now there's a huge number of treatments available that are tailored to the patient's age, the patient's home circumstances. For example, like my mother is currently taking a daily subcutaneous injection into her tummy, which she's fine with. She's got good vision. She doesn't have bad arthritis. But things like that would affect, you know, what treatment is appropriate for you. But the good news is, with treatment, one can go from osteoporosis back to osteopenia. I'm not sure if I've ever seen anyone
going back to normal, but
they do work. And
it does,
The question then of, which again I briefly discussed with Eamon earlier, how frequently should you repeat the DEXA scan after diagnosis of osteoporosis and after commencing treatment? And generally the guidelines would state, there are multiple guidelines throughout the world, but our guidelines in Ireland would generally state that the DEXA scan should be repeated approximately 2 years after initially commencing treatment. And we do see responses, we do see improved T-scores, and it's very satisfying to see it, because you bounce back down into the category of osteopenia. Now, generally, again, without going into treatment, I think one generally would stay on the same treatment.
It's
not an indication
for a number
to stop
of years.
Treatment.
I mean, the difficulty, I suppose the issue there is, and again, without getting into the detail too much, I wouldn't call them forever drugs, but the thing is that the benefit, there's one class of medications where the benefit will continue for some years after you stop taking the medication, but you've got to take it for a couple of years first to get to that state. But even there, you will get to the point where you may need to top it up again. Because, of course, the thing is, what the medication is doing is it's treating the result. It's treating the inability of the body to lay down extra calcium in the bone, because that's what it boils down to. But that hasn't gone away. We're correcting the issue, if you like, but we're not correcting the underlying problem, so that the people, once they start on treatment, not continuously for the rest of their lives, but likely as not, will be taking some form of treatment on and off for the rest of their lives, and may have to vary depending on their age and their circumstances and so on. So that's quite a large area for discussion on another day, because there's a lot involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Just, you mentioned, I suppose, there's a large cohort of people that could potentially have it and maybe should be scanned. Should people be going to their GPs and saying, well, look, I'm in this category?
I think it's part of the general assessment. Yeah, we could be having this discussion. Part of the issue, one of the rate limiting factors up to this, was actually access to DEXA scanning. And that's been one of the issues, has been the fact that we haven't had enough DEXA scanners to be able to do it. I mean, when I was starting practice, there was, I think, the first one would have been probably in Cork University Hospital. I think Professor McManoy would have started there. That's decades ago. Now we've got two in the county. So, and Deirdre might be able to tell us is it a DEXA scan machine for example, what are the waiting lists like at the moment for a DEXA scan?
For the bonds?
Yeah,
1 week, if even. We've the second scanner up and running now. The delay would be the admin, so we get the referral in from yourself.
It does, yeah.
We process it, send a letter out to the patient for their appointment, so the waiting time is very little.
Minimal. I see, that wouldn't have been obvious the case, because there would have been times in the past we would have been waiting months for DEXA scans, so it's much more ready access now.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you now have a facility in Killarney as well as Tralee.
Yes, so the patient can choose to have their scan in Tralee or Killarney, whichever suits them best.
That's obviously saving people travelling up from the south of the county. We might just take a quick break. I know we have plenty more to chat about. Of course, if anyone has any questions, they can get them into us now. Give us a call, 066 712 3666, or text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300.
Medical Matters on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Bonsecours Hospital Tralee, celebrating 100 years of advanced medicine and exceptional care.
And you're very welcome back to Medical Matters. And we're joined in studio by Dr. Eamon Shanahan, by Dr. Ciarán Healy, a consultant radiologist at the Bon Secours Hospital Tralee, and by Deirdre O'Connor, a radiographer who is the manager of the radiology department at the Bon Secours. So we're discussing osteoporosis, and we've had a question in about the DEXA scanner we were talking about. Someone says, can you ask the consultant radiologist about why the Bons is not covering a DEXA scan with the VHI? Now, Deirdre, I know you had been... I mentioned it to you during the break. You were saying it's actually been covered by the HSE for everyone.
So for everybody, the HSE cover the cost. So anybody coming to the Bons for a DEXA scan, there is no charge. They come, they have their scan, they leave. No money is required. The HSE cover all costs.
Okay, and as Eamon says, they're referred to yourselves by their GP then.
By their GP, yes.
Okay. We've had a few more questions related to these then. How often should someone with kidney disease have a DEXA scan?
So generalised guidelines regarding kidney disease or parathyroid hormone disease or any of the metabolic bone disorders would be every 2 years. Just never an indication to reduce that gap. There's no great benefit. And so the magic number is 2 years, every 2 years.
Okay. A lady asked, does the scan cover the entire body?
So the scan is a representation of the bone health of the entire body. Specifically, the area that's imaged is the lumbar spine from L1 to L5, so the majority of your low back. And also your two hip bones are also imaged, and they are felt to be most representative of the bone health of your entire body.
Okay. A person asked, should you take calcium supplements every day? I presume they mean if you have osteoporosis.
Again, calcium and vitamin D. Now, there's an interesting one there in the sense that I said calcium and vitamin D. There's a bit of controversy about this in the sense that there are concerns that if people are taking large amounts of unopposed calcium, that there is concerns that they may actually get calcium deposits in other parts of their body, such as, for example, get kidney stones and things like that. If you're taking calcium with vitamin D, the issue doesn't seem to arise at all. So it's probably a good idea to take vitamin D with your calcium and yes, then take it every day.
Okay. A person says, what is the doctor's opinion on Prolia? Am I pronouncing that right?
So that's a particular type of treatment called denosumab. It's a once in 6 month injection. So it's, I wouldn't say it's new because it's been around for probably 10 years at this stage, but it's one of the so-called monoclonal antibody treatments. And the idea behind it is that you get the injection, and what it does is that it stimulates the osteoclasts. Yeah. So let's expand that one. So in your bone, you've got two things, you've got osteoblasts and osteoclasts. One of the things you have to bear in mind is that bone is a living structure. It's constantly evolving, constantly changing. With the older treatments, with the, what they call the bisphosphonates, what they do is they stop bone breakdown, whereas the denosumab seems to help bone regeneration, bone growth. So it is a newer treatment. It has the advantage that it's a once in 6 month injection. Now, you do need to have your calcium and vitamin E levels checked before you get your injection. So there are, it's one of the options that are available. And again, that's the kind of thing you'd have a discussion with your GP about in terms of treatment.
Okay. A person says, I have osteopenia in my hips and wear and tear in my knee and loose cartilage. I'm on Prolia injections twice a year, vitamin A and Caltrate daily. I am 60 years of age. I do a lot of walking, but I feel the fluid build up on my knees again. Should I stop walking or do some other form of exercise to help my osteoporosis?
We're getting kind of a bit confused there in the sense that the osteopenia bit is the thinning of the bones, but the things that our listeners are talking about is actually more the mechanical problems with the knee joints themselves. So what I tend to do is refer most people who have any sort of joint problem, talk to your physio in the first instance, get them to do an assessment. Now, if they continue to have a problem, there may be appropriate imaging required of the knees. For example, if you think there might be a damage inside the knee, an MRI of knee would be a particularly useful investigation in this situation. But I suppose the thing is you're actually dealing with two separate issues there. The osteopenia is one issue. The fluid in the knees is a separate issue.
Okay. Would you mind asking the doctor, I just got diagnosed with osteoporosis and have to take a tablet once a week called fortevinate aldrodonic 70 microgram,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And they say, I've just started and I am feeling so bloated. Is this normal? I'm a lady in my early 50s.
Your criteria, absolutely. So aldrodonate is a particular medication. There's a variety of brands of it. The thing about the aldrodonate is that it's one of this group of drugs called the bisphosphonates. And one of the issues with the bisphosphonates is that they can be hard to take. They need to be taken on an empty tummy. They need to be taken with water, not with milk, because they bind to calcium. They need to be taken sitting up or standing up, and you need to say sitting up or standing up for a while afterwards, because they can be hard on the tummy. Now, having said that, most people seem to tolerate, and it does seem to settle down in time. But if it continues to be a problem, best thing to do is go back to your own GP, and they may have to switch you to a different preparation. There are monthly preparations as well. Now, you might be saying, okay, for enough, then you get monthly tummy pain as opposed to weekly tummy pain, but at least there's that option, and there are other options there as well.
Okay. A person says, can you ask the doctors about thyroid disease and osteoporosis? I'm on Electron. Electroxin approximately 9 years now.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with
I think the issue there might be that, again, at the back of the thyroid gland, there are four little very minute lumps of tissue called the parathyroid glands, which are involved in what's called calcium metabolism. And we are aware of the fact that if you have problems with your parathyroid glands, that can cause a disturbance to the calcium in your body, and that in turn can lead to bones breaking. But that's, if you like, a different problem. It's not the osteoporosis problem, so it's not the thyroid itself. If I've this idea at the back of my head that if you have vastly undertreated or really rampant overactive thyroid gland, you might run into problems, but you don't see that kind of problem anymore today. So for most people, the overactive thyroid gland or the underactive thyroid gland, if it's appropriately treated, shouldn't cause a problem with the bones.
Okay. Caller wants to know how often she should go to have a bone density scan done. She's 69, had one 3 years ago, had osteopenia, but takes calcium tablets and walks.
So the good news there is that she's got the middle category, osteopenia, and she's on treatment. So she should stay in the category of osteopenia and shouldn't require any further DEXAs. However, for peace of mind, just given how simple, non-invasive and safe this test is, there's no harm in getting it done. If she's had it done 3 years ago, no harm in getting it done absolutely non-urgently in the coming couple of months or 6 months. If you're in, as I said, if you're in the more severe category of osteoporosis, the indication or the guidelines are to repeat it every 2 years. If you've osteopenia, you can either not repeat it and continue with what you're taking, or for peace of mind, and I think it's no harm in doing that, have it repeated perhaps once at 2, 3, or 4 years, just to confirm that you're still in that category of osteopenia, and if you are, continue as you are, and there's probably no need thereafter.
Absolutely,
have
it done again, yeah.
And I think both of you were mentioning it earlier. It's very simple, non-invasive kind of scan. There's no, you're not covered over this. If you've claustrophobia, you've nothing to fear when you're getting a DEXA scan done.
Absolutely not.
Okay, 56-year-old perimenopausal, has osteoporosis, hip hyaluronic acid caused gastric disturbance, taking calcitu, vitamin K, diet, exercise changes, is that enough?
Yeah, you may well have, I mean, if you're getting too much trouble with the alendronate, with the alendronic acid, that might be a case for switching over to something else, such as the denosumab or the Prolia that we were talking about earlier on. That might be an alternative.
Okay. Caller wants to know if a DEXA scan is free. This person also says she also took a 6 month calcium injection and it caused her to break out in a rash. It took months for the rash to settle and the itch to die down. She had the same reaction to a tablet. What does the doctor say?
Okay, I think there's two separate issues there. Yeah. Firstly, I think Deirdre's already referred to this. The HSE are now funding DEXA scans for everybody, every adult in the county, so cost is not an issue. Our listener is very unfortunate that she got the particular reactions that she did. Now, the thing is that those 6 month injections, to the best of my knowledge, are generally administered by our consultant colleagues. So that's going to be a question for talking to the consultant. I mean, anybody anywhere can possibly get a reaction. The difficulty is that what you do then. Now, again, that's a discussion for another day, a completely different discussion. But they're two separate subjects there.
Okay, I think you've already dealt with this, but we'll ask it anyway. I'm a female in my 70s and have been diagnosed with osteoporosis. Do I need to see a specialist or can I reverse it with diet and exercise?
Probably not. If you've got osteoporosis in your 70s, you will need treatment for it. As simple as, and your GP can organise that for you in the first instance. No, you don't necessarily have to see a consultant initially. No, obviously if you're not responding to treatment, then you may need to see a consultant down the line, but not initially.
Okay. I think we have gone through all of the questions regarding osteoporosis. One person was asking, will the slot be repeated? Yes, we'll have it up on the website later if you want to listen back to it. I suppose any final notes again, if anybody is in those at-risk categories you mentioned earlier, menopausal women being, I suppose, the main one, to talk to your GP and get a referral to the bonds.
And the good news, two bits of good news. Firstly, that it's been done in Tralee and Killarney, and secondly, it's not going to cost you anything. So,
and the waiting list is only about a week at the moment, so that's great news as well for people. Great peace of mind. We might just get one more in. So, what is the doctor's opinion on Risinate? I take it once a week. Lady aged 59 has osteopenia.
Yeah, again, Risinate is another one of those treatments that is there. It probably wouldn't be the first line treatment. There are other things that we do. And said, but again, that's a discussion you need to have with your own GP.
Okay, right, look, okay, we'll leave it there for the moment. Eamon, Ciarán, and Deirdre, thank you so much, all of you, for coming into studio.